I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We've been observing Hispanic Heritage Month, which began September 15th and runs through mid-October. And to mark the occasion, we've been hearing about the latest in Latin music and hearing from Latino American trendsetters and newsmakers and really hearing from people who are living the American dream, Latino style. But there is another story to tell about the challenges that many Latinos continue to face on their way to that dream. So now we're going to tell you about a film that tells the story about that struggle in a poignant way. The film A Better Life stars Mexican film star Damian Bichir. He plays a man named Carlos Galindo, an undocumented immigrant and single dad in California who's working hard to provide for his American-born teenage son by working as a gardener. In an effort to obtain a better life for them both, he buys his boss's old truck and tries to start his own business. Here's a clip.
So, what do you think?
Blasco's truck?
Yeah, it's all right. Seen it before.
It's not Blasco's truck anymore. It's ours.
Mi papá, you gonna let me drive this bad boy when I'm 16?
Sure. You get your license.
You ain't got a license.
Don't say that too loud, okay?
Damian Bichir is earning raves for his role in A Better Life, and he's with us now from NPR West in Culver City, California. Welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
I think it's worth mentioning that the film was directed by Chris Weitz, who directed New Moon of the Twilight series, so a little different.
It's a lot different.
Did you think it was about a vampire gardener when he first approached you?
Yeah, Chris always tells that story about our first meeting, because I went in to read for New Moon, and then, you know, he started talking about this gardener. So he jokes about me saying, so is this a gardener that is a vampire? Or how does this work? I don't know. I think Chris Weitz is one of those really fantastic, eclectic directors, because he jumps from one genre to another with such ease.
Well, you do too. I mean, you talk about jumping from genre to genre. You played Fidel Castro in Che, and many people might have seen you in the Showtime series Weeds, where you played Esteban Reyes, the drug trafficking, you know, mayor. So you know, you do the same thing. What attracted you to this role?
I tried to go for different roles, and when I read the script, it was real. It was so much like the way life is. I didn't find any gimmicks, any Hollywood tricks or anything. And I thought it was a magnificent script. And then my character was so well written, and it was so powerful. It was like a Hamlet in many ways. It was like one of those bigger-than-life roles. And I fell in love with it immediately. And then, you know, when we went through the auditions and then I got it, that was a really happy moment for me.
Well, tell me about Carlos Galindo, and just tell me about him, and then we'll talk a little bit about the plot and what happens. Just tell me a little bit about him as a man, how you understood him.
Yeah, Carlos Galindo is the best mother I've ever seen. He, being a Mexican macho in many ways, he becomes such a great mother to his own child. And then everything is about giving his son everything, whatever's necessary to have a better life than the one he had. And I found that very, very moving, because most of the time you see these stories with a mother and a kid, but never, not very often it's a father living alone with no papers in a country like the United States, where, you know, this issue is going on as we speak on many states in this country. So that's for me fascinating.
And you meant mother. You weren't being ironic when you said he's the best mother you've ever seen in film. You weren't being ironic. You really meant, because he's so what? Sweet. He's loving.
Yeah, he's a really great mother, because, I mean, you don't see too many fathers behaving the way he behaves with his son. He's there for him, and he's planning to even spend more and better time with him, quality time with his son, and that's all he's thinking about. You never see him, you know, going to bars and getting drunk or going to, out with women and spending all his money on that. Everything that's in his mind is to provide his son with a better life.
You mentioned that this movie is making its rounds at a time when this whole question of immigration is very much in the news. The story is one that, you know, you're tempted to say it's kind of ripped from the headlines, but it's really not. I mean, it's kind of the story that's like right in front of you, but really doesn't make the papers, right? I mean, here's a guy, and he's working as a gardener, and he's working all the time, and he's working so much he never really gets to see his son, and he's worried about him. So he thinks, you know what, if I start my own business, I could have more say. But the minute he buys the truck, it's stolen. It's like, what can he do? You know, can he call the police? No, because if he calls the police, then the whole question of his status comes out.
That's right.
Talk a little bit about his dilemma.
It breaks your heart that everything seems to be against him. And this is a human being that it's playing his cards the right way. He's not committing any crimes or anything. He's only trying his best to not only give his son a better life, but to contribute to the country where he's living at now. And it seems like everything goes wrong when he wants to make it right. So I think for me, that was part of the things that struck me when I read the script, that it makes it very, very clear that this immigration issue is not a political issue. It's a human issue. And many battles regarding human rights in this country have been won. And I believe this is another one that's on his way of getting recognized and have a happy ending for many, many people, because you can't forget one clear fact, that is that those 11 million undocumented workers that are here are everywhere preparing your food and taking care of your children and fixing your gardens and parking your cars and helping you to have a better, easier, happier life. So I think this film, what The Better Life has done is that it has touched many hearts and opened minds. So a lot of friends that I have, Anglo friends, they all tell me, I just didn't know that my perspective towards this issue could change so much in 2 hours just watching this film.
Well, I do want to talk a little bit more about the politics of the film, if I can call it that. But I do still want to talk a little bit more about the film itself and just the character and the struggles that they go through. You talked about how it breaks your heart. But one of the things that's really heartbreaking, this is something that parents, I think, can relate to apart from their immigration status, is that all Carlos, your character, wants is for his son to be proud of him and to take care of him, right, in a way that he feels loved. And there's a lot of, you know, tension there between what's pulling the son and what's driving the dad. And there's this one scene between you and the young man who plays your son, where the son says, he's challenging his father, like, why? You know, why are we in this situation? I'll just play that short clip. Here it is.
You asked me why I had you, to be able to take care of you and watch you grow. Because I love you. You are the most important thing in this world to me, mijo. I wanted you to be able to be anything you wanted to be.
Now, you just became a father yourself recently, and you have a little one. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
How did you understand what was going on there?
I think that is exactly why this is such a powerful film, because it's not about immigration. It's not about politics. It's only about the love of a father for his son. And that's universal. And anybody who is a father or a son, pretty much all of us, can relate to this film and whatever these characters go through. When my son Luis, played beautifully by Jose Julian, asks me, why did you have me? That's really hard. It's really hard to answer, especially if his mother is not around anymore. So basically, I totally agree with you. That's what any parent or any father wants, just to be your son's hero and to be sure that he's looking after you too, you know, as well as you're looking after him, and to become best friends and hopefully be a true, beautiful role model for him. So that is something that a lot of people relate to when they see the film.
We're speaking with actor Demian Bashir about his role in the movie A Better Life. I understand that to prepare for this film that you bought a beat-up truck, which you drove around L.A., that you wore the same clothes for days at a time, that you only slept a few hours at night. And I should mention that this is a lifestyle change because you're such a big star in Mexico. I'm sure you won't mind mentioning that the MTV Movie Awards, the Mexican version of the MTV Movie Awards, even created a Best Bichir in a Movie Award because, you know, your parents, your brothers are also actors, and you have your own category. And I'm curious what it was like for you driving around in your beat-up truck wearing your nasty, dirty clothes. And did you feel different?
I felt like Carlos Galindo. That's what I wanted. I wanted to get as close as possible to the character. And I remember when I played Fidel Castro, I also, you know, was wearing my green outfit and my hat and my beard all the time. I got pulled over at the airport once, and they, you know, asked me to open my trunk, and then they asked me, "So, what's with the Fidel look?" And I went like, "I'm glad you're asking, because I am Fidel today." So and then, you know, we end up talking about the film and this and that, and Steven Soderbergh and Benicio del Toro. And when I bought this truck for A Better Life, I bought it from one of my paisanos in a red light, actually. And I drove it for as long as we rehearsed and prepare, and the whole shooting also. And everything changes. Everything changes, and I wanted to experience that, because when you're driving a beat-up truck, it's harder to transit through life in general. People are rude. They assume that if you're driving that, you're a loser, especially in a city like Los Angeles, right? And then when my paisanos will look at me, because, you know, I talk to them all the time, every day, and when they look at me in my car, they would always ask, "So, it's really hard, huh? Life is not really easy for you lately, or what's going on?"
They thought you had really come down.
Yeah, I remember once pulling over the location where we were shooting, and they had changed the security guard, and he stopped me at the entrance, and he asked me, "Yes, can I help you?" And I said, "Well, I'm here to shoot." He said, "Yeah, are you? What do you do here?" "Well, I'm part of the cast." "Oh, okay. You go ahead and park over there." And he pointed like a parking lot like 1,000 miles away from there.
For the film that you were starring in.
For the film that I was starring in. And then it was really, really interesting for me. And I kept playing along, you know, telling him, "Well, you know, I need to park over here." "No, really? Why? You say you were working here." But so the whole thing was really weird, and it was something that I was experiencing every day driving that truck.
Well, let me just ask you this, though. You said earlier that this is not a political film. It's an emotional film, and I credit you that. But this is both an emotional and a political issue in this country right now. As you and I are speaking, for example, in the state of Alabama, they've just adopted a very severe set of restrictions on people who are lacking proper documentation. It's considered the toughest law in the country, requires school officials, for example, to document the status of students and their parents. It says that police officers are supposed to evaluate the status of people that they stop for whatever reason, you know, traffic violations, and, you know, on a reasonable suspicion that they are out of status, for example. So for many people, listen to this and they'll say, "Well, that's a shame. But if people aren't here without proper law, you know, proper authorization, then they should leave." What do you say to that?
Well, there's a really great film by Sergio Arau called "A Day Without a Mexican," and it's a really acid comedy or dramedy about what would we do, you know, without these guys. There isn't anybody that's willing to do that work for that money. So I totally understand both sides, you know, because people are afraid, and most problems are misinformation about how your fear can increase if your neighbor looks like this or does that or is here with no documents and stuff and all that. And then my biggest fear is that fear plus ignorance only gives you hate. And that's where, you know, real problems can happen. I think there's an issue here going on that it's a fact. I don't see how you're going to take back 11 million human beings to I don't know where, because their homes are here. They don't have anywhere else to go, and their homes are here, and it's just too many people. So there's got to be a way. It's urgent that they work, or we all work, in an immigration law that can help everyone.
Damian Bichir is the star of the film A Better Life. It's being released on DVD this month, and he was kind enough to join us from NPR West in Culver City, California. Damian Bichir, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Bracken Booker, Bridget Deshagas, Monica Evstatieva, Eamon Malone, Sanaj Meshkinpour, Emily Oxenschlager, Amitha Parasher, Amy Ta, and Sarah Ventry. Our intern is Malik Washington. Our director this week was Arjun Hutchins. Our editors are Alicia Montgomery and Ahmad Omar. They had help this week from Lori Grant. Our senior producer is Devar Ardalan. The technical director is Brian Jarbo. He had help this week from Greg Gavin and Burke Hunt. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior editor is Portia Robertson-Migas. The executive producer is Tashima Walker. And whether you've been listening from the beginning or just found us today, we'd love to hear from you. To tell us more, please go to npr.org and find us under the Programs tab. You can also friend me on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at TellMeMoreNPR. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow.